Hello and welcome to The Two Tones. I'm Tony Moclair. Joining me as he does every week, Tony DeBolfo.
Greetings, Tone. How are you?
Well, I'm very well. We're at episode 8, of course. I'm not sure if you're a fan of the movie With Niall and I. Are
you, Tony? I must admit I haven't seen With Niall and I. My loss, I'm sure.
Okay, what about Lance Whitnall and I? Number 8.
The number 8 Guernsey, Tone. Yeah. I like your thinking.
Do you remember his goal in the 99? It was a beautiful goal in the boundary line. 99 prelim final, and he raised the right arm and did a sidestep in celebration. Do you remember that?
It was magnificent. I remember it vividly. I would say that would stand as Lance Whitnall's finest moment.
It was. Surely it was a great goal.
Yeah. What a great goal it was. What a game, Tony.
Oh, please, come on.
Lance Whitnall, Trevor Keogh.
Oh, there's a name.
We've got the big Cruz too, who I would suspect would be a reasonable chance to start at Adelaide Oval on Saturday night.
We'll talk about that.
We've had some great players wear 8. I think Dennis Minnari wore 8 in 68 when he played in the Premiership team against Essendon. So the 8s have a tone. Ross Stitchburn, the farmer, he wore 8 too. So we've had some rippers.
Look, it's an auspicious number. Hello to all our Chinese listeners as well. They're obviously a big fan of the number 8. Now, Tone, speaking of fortune, it didn't go our way on Friday night. A 21-point loss to the Bulldogs at Etihad Stadium. It was not one for the purists, we have to be honest. An error-strewn game. And then Brendan Bolton, in his press conference, said, look, you know, we're feeling the pain of supporters, but we are sticking to our game plan, if you like. We are sticking to... We're staying true to our course. Tone, your thoughts on the game, please.
A fair assessment, Tone, of proceedings on Friday evening. It wasn't the most attractive game. I don't think it's one for the, vault,
for
is
the
it?
Sizzle reel, no.
No, it's not. I thought Carlton were particularly sloppy with their use of the footy. I thought the ball came out of our forward half probably way too easy. And credit to the Bulldogs, they ran the ball well, they teamed well, and they got the chocolates. Very interesting to hear Brendan Bolton's comments, as you alluded to earlier. Look, what can you say? The club's in a holding pattern. The objective right now is to get games into as many young players as humanly possible. There are mitigating factors with, you know, experience unavailable to the team at the moment, and I'm sure any team would struggle with the depth of player talent that Carlton has unavailable at the minute. But, you know, as I've often said this year, Tone, if you listen to the wise heads and the discerning football judges, they are all saying... You know, maintain the faith.
Yeah.
Carlton is doing the right thing in going the course in, what is the third year of its rebuild. So we have to be patient. It will turn around. No one really knows exactly when.
Yeah.
But it will happen, and we have to remain patient and
steadfast,
optimistic.
Well, there were like anything. I mean, obviously being a Carlton supporter is tough at the moment because opposition supporters love pointing out how Carlton are going 0-6 at the moment. Yes, we know that. Anybody who follows Carlton is very much aware of the fact that we haven't won a game this year. But it's not, to me, it's not about going to a game and expecting Carlton to win necessarily, because there's been such a turnover of the list. But I think the recruiters have done a great job, and there is a nucleus building of a tight, well-knitted team of genuine talent. So when I go to games now, I'm watching for the progress of Paddy Dow, Lockie O'Brien, the emerging, you know, wonder that is the career of Zach Fisher. I know I'm a massive fan. And a new generation of young players who are coming through, and, you know, we wear the pain now, because in a year, 2 years' time, we're going to be contenders, I think.
Couldn't have articulated better myself, Tony. I think that's what you have to look for in the Carlton model circa 2018. And I think, listening to what you're saying, it's fair to say that our strength is in our youth. There's no doubt that, as you say, Silvani and the recruiters have brought together this tremendous core of young players that are to take Carlton forward for at least the next decade and beyond. And I suspect the problem for Carlton right now, if we're looking in the short term, is the fact that it is bereft of experience.
Yeah.
You look at the other end, and you know, wouldn't we dearly love to have the Doc up and running, and Murphy and Cruiser and all these players? We saw last week what the inclusion of Sam Rowe meant to that back line.
Yeah.
And bring stability to that, you know, that last line defence, and freeing up Liam Jones to really take the game on. So, you know, I suppose when you think on the ideal model, it's a team that has that perfect blend, that you know, that mix of both youth and experience.
Yeah,
we've certainly got the youth, the players of tomorrow, but what we lack at the moment is that experience of today.
Well, a perfect example of that was, let's say, Ploughman spoiling. Was it? It was a contested mark, and I think he spoiled Liam Jones. There was no communication.
Right.
And went up, and they both spoiled. The ball spills free,
yes.
Footscray, Bulldogs scoop it up, and it's a goal. Now,
yes.
You put Doherty into that as the backline general, you know, the old head, and he's assigning players positions in that backline, and snafus like that don't occur.
No, that's very, very true. I think it might have been Marchbank. But it's a fair point you make. You know, you need that, you know, that old head, you know, that experienced type player to, as you say, marshal the troops in that particular area of the ground. And I think once we get the blend, you're really going to start to see it translate into, you know, the results that we all want. So I guess as of round 8, you know, or round 7, round 6 rounds completed, Tony, nothing really changes. We stay the course, and we look for those little moments in games that you identified, and what we have to hope is that over the next few weeks and months that we start to get more and more of them.
Yes, and that this pain is a down payment on some glory yet to be realised.
Very true.
But
very true.
You know, again, Cripps, the colossus that is Patrick Cripps.
Look. You know, I guess if you reflect on moments through the course of the year, the season, well, it's probably the success story of 2018 to date.
Yeah.
You know, with all due respect to Fisher and those players who have been fabulous, I think if you look at Cripps in the context of you know, where Carlton's at in its list, in the absence of Mark Murphy, he's basically had to shoulder the responsibility for this young team. And talk about leading from the front. You know, I suspect if I was someone like Zach Fisher, you know, Lockie O'Brien,
Charlie Curnow,
all those players,
yeah.
I think I'd have enormous degree of confidence following Patrick Cripps down the race and on the ground. You know, there's a fellow that you wouldn't mind, you know, following behind and looking up to as a role model. Talk about, you know, delivering by your actions. I mean, you couldn't ask more of Cripps, and it worries me a little bit, you know, that he's quite literally shouldering the entire load. You know, you see him barnstorming his way through contests with two or three blokes hanging off him.
Yeah, and also, you know, any opposition team that targets him, tags him, takes him out of the game.
Well,
Carlton lose a lot of run, a lot of momentum.
Yes,
and you know, and that's obviously a problem too.
Well, you know, I think in the context of the year, looking at Carlton and where it's at, I don't think it's understating the fact that, or overstating the fact that he probably is the competition's best captain this stage of proceedings. I look upon the way he's led Carlton with such admiration, just to basically take up the baton and run with it for the club against so much on-field you know, pressure, and let's face it, we are in the gun at the moment. We're a soft target for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And yet he just goes about his business, and all power to him. Patrick Cripps, he's a phenomenal player.
Well, there's
watching him play.
A telling stat, Tone, this week. I wonder if you've got it in front of you about Patrick Cripps. The fewest career games. Have you got that stat? Or I bring it home.
All right.
The fewest career games to have had 10 matches with 20-plus contested possessions.
So
65 to Patrick Cripps 81 to Josh Kennedy, 94 to Nat Fyfe, 125 to Patrick Dangerfield. So he's in some elite company.
Yes.
Not surprisingly that he is rubbing uninjured shoulders with that company.
Well, look, you know, what is he? Is he 22? And he's, as you say, he's in rarefied air there with the likes of Fyfe, Dangerfield, you know, Josh Kennedy. They're all stars of the game. And it's frightening to think what lays ahead for Patrick Cripps, you know, and you look at the way he plays, you know, you just hope for every good fortune to come his way because, you know, he's really up against the odds at the moment and he's delivering in spades. All power to him.
Can I, now, Carlton supporters know this and we've certainly faced this next week against against Adelaide. We're up against two players who used to be at the club and now gone on to all success at other clubs. Andy Gower's boy did a very good job the other night. I went to school with his dad, believe it or not, many years ago.
Yep.
What were your thoughts watching him go around?
Well, it's never nice seeing, you know, someone that you had here on your list going around and strutting his stuff in opposition colours. And I did see Andy Gowers on the concourse there last week. Good play he was too.
Yeah.
But look, you know, for all power to Billy, you know, maybe the planet's in the line here and he's found his niche at the kennel. Nice fella. I wish him all the very best. Hate seeing him doing against the old dark navy blue. For whatever reason, it didn't work out here. I'm not quite sure why, but it happens in league footy. I guess you can't retain them all, Tony.
No.
Unfortunately.
Indeed. But look, we have retained Levi Casbolt. He's played his 100th game. And as you pointed out before on the two tones, Tone, what is significant about the number 41 getting 100 games?
Yes, first time the name of any Carlton player appears on the number 41 locker, Tone. It's been bereft of any name for all these years since numbers were first introduced, I think in 1911. And of course, it completes a sequence now. The numbers 1 to 45 carry the names of at least one player on each locker. Bearing in mind that every 100 game player gets his name on the locker number which he uses. So,
which happens to us at 100 episodes, did you realise?
Is that so?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
That's an incredible statistic.
T. Beauclair, there you go.
Is there a cake for our 100th? Lucy, yes, I'm sure, as we speak, is out to arrange at the Carlton Cafe.
One of the bluebirds is going to pop out of it.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Thank you for that, Tone. I wasn't aware of that delightful milestone. But look, you know, just a little line on Levi. I think what I'd like to say about Levi Casbolt's career is that Sav Rocker has won the battle in turning around Levi's errant kicking. And, you know, I would have thought that Levi came to Carlton with an obvious kicking problem.
Mm.
So it was never ironed out, you know, at junior level or earlier than that. And, you know, you often wonder, look, is it too late, you know, for a player to actually change his methodology to be able to actually, in this instance, kick properly? Well, I think you've got to say that Sav Rocker has done that because, you know, if you look at the way Levi approaches his shots for goal, their set shots, he runs in straighter. There's less movement of the ball between the hand and foot.
Yep.
And contact is pretty clean. So 9 times out of 10, you'd pretty much back him these days, where it wasn't always the case. And I think when you look at the 100 games, Levi Casbolt, probably the success story of the 100 has been the improvement in his kicking by way of the big fella Saverio. So well done. That's a great effort by both men.
Couldn't agree more. And yes, when Levi goes near the ball now or when he lines up for a set shot, the Rosaries are not getting the work out they once did. Now, let's before we get to previewing Adelaide Carlton, because they are hosting, of course.
Yes.
Tone, I need you 3 votes for Carlton versus the Western Bulldogs.
Yes, Tone, I thought long and hard about these votes, and you'll be pleased to know that I have acknowledged one of your favourites, Charlie Curnow.
Excellent.
I thought Charlie was terrific. With every game, he's becoming more influential. With every quarter, you can see him really, you know, finding his place, more than finding his place, he's actually making an impression on games. And I think that's a legacy of continuity of football.
Yeah.
You know, we heard Brendan Bolton talk about Harry McKay's delayed start to this year. That was all about trying to get games into the body and then trying to build a base and keep the momentum happening. Well, Charlie's done that, and as I say, with every game we're seeing marked improvement. Bit of a knock on his kicking late. I think he had three goes at it late in the game, which, who knows, could have
snatched an improbable game, victory. That makes a difference.
But I'm sure that'll come with time and experience and poise and nous and all those things that you want to identify. One vote to him. Two votes to another favourite, Tone, the little bloke in the number 25, the Fish, Zach Fisher.
Love him.
Love the way he plays. Love the way he bites at those ankles around the packs. A real tearaway footballer. Smart player too. Love the way he uses the footy. He's clean. He's a real go-getter. I love the bloke. Two to him. And three votes to a player that I dipped my lid to this year. And we've actually, you know, lamented the absence of our experience. But I think given the shortfall, I want to acknowledge Daisy Thomas.
Oh,
I
thought outstanding.
Daryl Thomas, outstanding. And such an important component to this team at this stage of his career, because what he does bring is experience and nous that this team needs. And we talk about Cripps leading by example. Well, I think you'd have to say that Dale Thomas has followed suit there. And I just love the way he plays. He went with that awful banana kick into the forward half at one point of the game, which wasn't great.
That would have worked 10 years ago for him, you know.
That's true. But in saying... Where's your left foot, Daisy? But in saying that, I think he's been magnificent this year, just in bringing... You know, some badly needed stability to that back half of the ground, and in the absence of the likes of Doherty, Murphy, Cruiser, we could go on. I think he's been an extremely important component in this very young group. So, I dips my lid to Daisy and give him three votes.
All right, well done, Daisy. Now we're going to preview the Adelaide Carlton game Saturday night, 7:10. Is that Adelaide time? Who knows? In any event, Carlton Travel. Thank you, Virgin Airlines. Major sponsor of the Carlton Football Club.
Yes.
Now, Tone, we know it's going to be difficult.
No doubt it'll be difficult, Tone. The City of Churches, Adelaide Oval. But what a great challenge. The Carlton team go over with, no fear. They can play with a little bit of freedom, I would have thought. No one rates them a chance the weekend, but I don't mind those odds. And it'll be interesting, obviously, you know, all the talk is on Bryce Gibbs and his first crack against his former team. Eddie, we don't know yet whether he's available or not, whether he's over that hammy.
Life supporter of the Carlton, life member of the Carlton Football Club, of course, Eddie Betts.
Yes, and I dare say Bryce is a life member also, having played 8 seasons at the club. 100 games plus. I guess it's a great challenge for the Carlton Football Club. It'll be interesting to see the makeup of the team. As I hinted earlier, perhaps Matt Cruiser's after his layoff with the groin might be a starter.
So what do you do with Phillips and Cruz in the same team? Do you just rotate them on the ruck and go and rest them in the forward line?
Probably so. And might I say that that's been probably another positive of this part four. No, the form of Andrew Phillips. I really love the way he plays. Yeah. I like the size and strength and physicality he brings to the contest. I like the way he backs himself in anywhere around 50 to have a crack on goal.
Yep.
And it's very heartening that we've got a player capable of going forward and doing some damage.
And you can see an interview between yourself and Andrew Phillips on carltonfc.com.au.
Great fella. Really, really, really positive sort of bloke that's really looking forward to... Like McKay and we said earlier, getting some continuity into his game and really stringing some games together, because I think he's an extremely important player for Carlton going forward. So, yes, a good point you make. You know, how does Cruiser complement Phillips in the event that the former returns, it may well be that we'll see the two big men rotating through the forward line out of the ruck. So I would say that that would be a good problem for Brendan Bolton to have. Fingers crossed, Cruz is available for selection.
Tone, you are the Carlton historian. Can you remind me, was it 2004 or 2005? Carlton weren't having a great season, went over to Adelaide Football Park, and Brendan Favola kicked. Now, how do you narrow down the greatest goals kicked by Brendan Favola? That's literally impossible. But there was one from the notorious pocket at Football Park where the wind came in off West Lakes. And the Adelaide players know very well because they train there, so they could handle that pocket on a set shot. Fevy drilled it, and it was a narrow win to Carlton. Do you remember that?
I remember the game vividly, Tony, and Kevin Bartlett's call of that particular goal. Funny story that Brendan Favola himself relates about that moment. He'd mentioned that as he was lining up to take the kick, that Nick Stevens, yeah, who, of course, had played a handful, well, a fair few games at Port Adelaide, knew Footy Park pretty well, had said to him, "Fev, ball will go right to left in the breeze." So he said, "I weighed that up and I thought, no, it's not, it'll go left to right." And he said, "I slotted it straight through."
Wow.
So that was a classic example of a player backing his own judgment and ability and putting through one of the all-time great goals in a pressure situation to win the game for the club. So I can recall seeing, I was there for that final the mini-final when Carlton had to beat Port in the last game of Football Park to make the nine, as it was at that particular point.
Yeah.
Do you recall the game? And they got up in the last minute with a magnificent, meritorious last quarter of footy. So, you know, history suggests that, you know, heading into enemy camp doesn't, you know, pose too much angst for the players. They go over there with a fair degree of freedom and, you know, a real challenge to take the game on and make something of it. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the game on Saturday night. Who knows what may transpire? All we want, Tone, we want a competitive Carlton team taking the field, and we want to see further glimpses of those great moments in play where you see our players of tomorrow making an impact. It's all you can ask. Guys having a go.
And please, fear of the unforced skill errors, and I think everybody will be happy. We do acknowledge, of course, the great debt we owe to South Australia in terms of the absolute champions it has provided the football club. We're going to reel off a couple of names now. You already know them, of course. Stephen Kernaghan, Craig Bradley, Peter Motley, Andrew McKay, Macca. You got some others there, Tone?
Well, the question without notice, you've actually rattled them all off.
Have
There's
I?
There's been some great players here, and all of them, exactly what I was thinking about. I can remember, I don't know if I mentioned this previously, heading out to Princes Park here in the summer of 85, leading into 86, and seeing all of them on the track, you know, Craig Bradley, Stephen Kernaghan, Peter Motley, John Doherty, so got over from the West, and the buzz had come back to have another crack at it. And I was looking at it and I said, I felt like a kid in a candy store tote. It was magnificent, you know. Right. And sadly, those days are long gone.
Well, you know, Patrick Cripps is from WA, so, you know, the tradition continues. Let's throw David Kernaghan in there as well.
Nice call. And we should have got Johnny Platton as well. We were that close.
Oh,
you know, can you imagine it?
What happened there?
Well, I think Hawthorne muddied the waters, unfortunately, but you can't get them all.
No, okay. Well, now, Tone, that's enough for us today. When I say that's enough, I mean, it's bare, too much two tones.
Speak
is
for yourself,
barely enough.
I'm on a roll here.
Sorry. What I meant to say is that's all we have time for due to the constraints of digital storage technology.
Where will you be watching the game from, Tone?
That's a very good question. I may be at the Grandview.
Okay,
I don't know.
I might see you there.
Yes, yeah. But rest assured, I will be watching it. I will be barracking and supporting the old dark navy blue with passion, as everybody must as they get behind the team for year 9 of the 2-year rebuild. I couldn't resist. But Tone, have a great week and we'll catch you next week.
All the best, Tone.